Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Hallelujah. We praise God for being here on this Saturday. Amen. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Not because you're hearing my voice, because I'm just a man just like you are. Amen. I'm just human just like you are. But if you're listening to me right now, you're blessed because you are in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give the Lord some praise on today, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We praise God for being here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, morning, wherever you're listening to me around the world in Jesus' name. We praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic today, and we are going to be talking about something that's very, very vital to everybody. Everybody. And I got this topic from a conversation that I had with one of my friends on this past week, and from talking to my parents, and from talking to our founder, which I want to stop right now and give honor to our founder and our watchman on the wall for this Spirit Alive Network.
God bless you, Bishop Cook.
Amen. Thank you for allowing us to come in Jesus' name. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due in Jesus' name. So we give you honor on today in Jesus' name. But I thank God for this topic today, because it is something that we must do. We must have. Now, not everybody has it. Let me say that. Not everybody has it, but we have examples in the Bible that had this thing here, and that is mentoring, the freedom of mentoring. And then the freedom of leadership, the freedom of mentoring in Jesus' name. And the reason why I'm going here today is because it starts with somebody helping somebody. You can't get to the next level without someone helping you get to that next level. Not everybody, only person, and this is the honest truth, the only person that can take credit for everything that they've ever done without no help is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only person that can take credit for everything he's done with no help. I'm being honest. Nobody in the world, throughout the world, got to the place where they are without help or without being a help to others. Amen? So we have a responsibility, and this is because we just got out of Mother's Day, and we're gradually going in into Father's Day. I'm going to be talking about the young people today. And I'm going to be talking about parents, mentors, leaders. Because we have in history, even in the Bible days and in world history, We have leaders that were top-notch. We have leaders that were not so top-notch. We have leaders in the United States. We have people that have done the where man thought it was impossible to do. They've been the first. They've led the way. Amen. We have a vice president in office right now who did the first. Amen. Who became the first female vice president in United States history. No matter if you like it or don't like it, she's still our vice president. Vice President Kamala Harris is our vice president. No matter if you like it, she was the first female to become vice president. We have in history the first, we all know, the first African-American president was in history books is Barack Obama. Now, I'm not saying this because of race or nationality or religion or whatever, because we got a lot of great leaders. We got some bad ones, too. I'll even name off some bad ones. Hitler, he was a leader, but he was a bad one. Pharaoh, in the Bible days, Pharaoh was a leader. Amen. But he was a bad one. Moses was a leader. He was a good leader. He was a spiritual leader. We have leaders in the church. My former pastor, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, my current pastor, Pastor William A. Tubber III, I know throughout history, we have leaders on our jobs. We have mentors on our jobs in our churches. And this is what we need to do for the young people. I was talking to Bishop Cook before the show started, and she was, telling me, it takes a good parent to have great children. And I thank God for my own children, because my three boys, because if you've been following me on Facebook, I was able to go to my oldest son. He's 11 years old. He's very, very talented. All three of my boys are very, very talented. And they are, I'm dealing with three different age brackets, three different personalities. But all three of them are unique in their own way. Amen. And I'm using my own children because I'm a parent and I know my children. And I've watched my oldest son, and I'm using my oldest son right now because you don't have to be blood to be a father. You don't have to be blood to be a parent. You don't have to be biological to be a parent. You don't even have to be. Look, you can be an aunt, an uncle. I have nieces and nephews. My oldest nephew, he's 20. Watched him grow up. Very phenomenal young man. I have another one who's 19. Very phenomenal young man. But it started when they were young. The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. But when they're old, they will not depart. I told my boys, I told my middle son, because I had to go to his school. Me and his mother had to go to his school on a disciplinary note, amen. But I began to tell my middle son, my 8-year-old, during that ordeal, because it was between him and another student. And I guess this student, he said that the student was his friend, and you know, they both got in a little bit of trouble. It wasn't nothing wrong or nothing real, bad. But he got in a little bit of trouble. And I told him, I said, evil communication corrupts good manners. The people you hang with, the people you're around, and you keep hanging around that, you're gonna become that. That's why, as a parent or as a mentor or as a leader, it is good to tell people that you're leading, to tell the people that you're parenting, to tell the people that you're mentoring how good they are. Tell your children, I love you. I got people on my job right now that work underneath me. Yes, I am an assistant manager, and yes, I have somebody over me. I have my store manager. He's over me, but when he's out of the store, you know, I'm left there to take care of the store, to manage the store, you know, and the people that work underneath me, I've watched people down through my life, good ones, bad ones, managers talk down to people. And I pattern myself, as far as my job is concerned, I patterned myself on a spiritual level and on a natural level. I patterned myself like my father. I watched my father as pastor, and I've watched my father be my father. And one of the things that I do on my job when I'm managing my store is, as I watched my dad as my pastor, he said one of the things he does as a pastor is that he has to see both sides of the coin, whatever problem it is, whatever it might be. It might be a problem at the church, or it might be a problem with he might have to, you know, counsel somebody, you know. It really doesn't matter, but he has to see both sides to just get the full knowledge of what's going on. He has to see both sides, amen? And so I patterned myself after that. Those are some of the things, those are some of the qualities that I use on my job when I'm talking to the employees that work underneath me. If they have a problem, if they have an issue, I have to see it from both sides. Whether they're having, like, for example, if they're having a problem with a customer, I see the customer side and I see my employee side. I have to see both sides, and I have to weigh who's in the right, who's in the wrong. I do the same thing with my kids and their teachers. If they're doing wrong, I'm on them, you know, and I'm on my children. If the teacher's doing wrong, I tell the teacher, hey, look, you need to get this together, you know, and that's the greatness of a leader. That's the greatness of a mentor. That's the greatness of a father. That's the greatness of a mother. When you can, you know, go through a situation and, you know, detect where the problem is. And right now, we are going through a generational problem with our young people. A lot of these young people do not have what they need to live life. We, as people, and me as a parent, and I can say this now because I'm a parent, we are giving our children a lot of choices. And it's okay to give your kids choices. It's okay. It's okay. But as long as it's giving them the right choices to make. How can a 6 or a 7-year-old choose whether or not what gender they are? How? This now, and I might get backlash from this, but I don't even care. I had a talk with one of my friends, one of my buddies, and he was saying that the freedom that we have in this country, in the United States, far as young people are concerned, that they're able to choose what gender they are, that's the freedom that they have. Too much freedom. What is In this state that we are living in, as a country, as a world, as a global world, or whatever you want to call it, we have too many choices. We have too many freedoms in the United States. And then you might say, well, you're bashing your own country. No, I'm not. I'm not bashing anybody. But if you go over to a foreign country, some of those people do not get to choose. They're forced. They're forced. Some countries are forced to only have one child, two children, and that's it. Some countries are forced, some of their people, to do this and do that and be this religion and be that religion. Let me tell you something. When it comes to choices, making choices for young people, and I'm here to tell the parents, choose for them. Don't let them choose everything. It is not good. It is not good to let your child choose whether, because for me, I don't let my children choose whether or not if their mother's cooking dinner, if I'm cooking dinner, I'm not going to let them choose whether or not if we got a full course meal in front of the table and they're like, oh, I don't want that. I want cereal. You don't get no choice. And there are some parents, there are some people that are like that in life. They like, and if they get, and if they don't get the choice that they want, if they don't get to choose, they get upset. That's not the way the world works. That's not the way God works. It doesn't work that way. And the way God works, we have that in the church. We have this in the church world too. I ain't just talking about in the world system. I'm talking about the church system too. In the church nowadays, if we don't get what we want, we're crybabies. And this is why we have punks in the pulpit. Uh-oh, you might say punks in the pulpit. What are you talking about? This is why we have punks in the pulpit. That's another show for another day, but I'm about to go there. This is why we have punks in the pulpit, because we say as leaders, we say, oh, well, they don't like that, so I'm just gonna give in. We cannot give look, this is the way God wants it. It's holiness or hell. And I'm talking about the church now. I'm not talking about the world right now. I'm talking about the church. It's holiness or hell. Holiness or hell. There is no in-between. There is no black and white. There's black and there's white. There's light and there's darkness. There is no gray area when it comes to holiness. You choose whether to live a holy life or go to hell. That's synopsis of it. That's all of it. You can choose to live a holy life the way God wants you to. Because it's not, when you say holiness, it's not your holiness, it's his holiness that is put on the inside of us. Amen? And I've said this before. There was a wrestler that I grew up watching. His name was the Ultimate Warrior. And the exact day before he passed away, he gave a speech, and it was a powerful speech, and it was like he knew that he was getting ready to die. The speech was so deep and intense. It wasn't about wrestling, even though he was standing in the middle of a pro wrestling ring. The speech was not about wrestling. The speech was about life. And he was talking about life is like a dress rehearsal. You're only living the life what you want. You're only living the life of what you want your life to be. You're only portraying the life that you want your life to be. That's all you're doing. But I added something to that. In a movie, you know, they behind the scenes of every movie that we watch or have watched, there are people behind the scenes. And the main person behind the scene that is not, it's not the cameraman filming the movie. It's not the camera people filming the movie. It's not the writers that write out the scripts and write out the screenplays. Not none of them. The main person. Not even the actors and the actresses. That one main person, the director. In our life, if we don't have a director in life, if we don't have a director in our life, our movie or our life is doomed for failure. And that director should be in our life, Jesus Christ. He's the one that sculpted the movie of our life. He's the one that is knows the way he wants that movie to be of our life. So why, as the actors of our life, because we're the ones going through life, why are we getting upset with the Lord on the way our life is portrayed? When he wrote the script, when he wrote the screenplay of our life, he said he knows us better than we know ourselves. Why? Why do we have to? This is why, this is the same thing with our young people. We give so many of our young people choices. We let them do whatever. Look, I watched a child hit his mother. And this now, watch this. I was at this event with my children and my wife, and my children watched this young man hit his mother. And you might say, well, you can't blame choices on him hitting his mother. Yeah, I can. You know why? Because a lot of parents try to be their child's friend. A lot of these leaders in the churches try to be friends with the sheep. Now, it's good to get, it's good to be, I'm not saying be a dictator. I'm not saying to do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're trying to control people's lives and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is take a stand for holiness. Take a stand for your child. Take a stand for what you believe. Be a leader, not a follower. It's very easy. The Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Look, if you following somebody, if you are following somebody that is not living holy, you both. And if you keep following them, I told somebody one time, if my mama and daddy, you know, even before they became pastor and first lady, if they want to go astray, okay, that's fine. You want to go, you want to go astray, that's fine. That's fine with me. I'm not going nowhere. I'm not taken down from what I've been taught. I'm not taken down from the stance that God has given me. There are a lot of people in life with everything that they do, they take a stand for something, and then to take a shortcut to where they want to go, they fall off. They fall off. Or if they don't agree with something, they go the opposite direction. And that's not good. Sometimes you have to in learning to be a leader, you have to learn how to eat the spinach. You got to learn how to eat the spinach. You got to learn how, I'm going to say it a third time, yes. You got to learn how to eat the spinach. You got to learn how, as my great-grandmother used to say, you got to learn how to eat your vegetables, baby, to make you big and strong. And if you want to be big and strong in life, you got to learn how to take some stuff. You want to go higher in your education, you got to learn how to buckle down and study, even when you don't want to. If you want to be a great exploit for God, you got to learn how to buckle down and fast and pray and read the Word of God and study the Word of God. If you want to go higher in your career, you got to buckle down and learn how to grill it up and eat the spinach. Take some stuff. You got to learn how to hop. Thank you, Jesus. This is life. This is life. I tell my kids all the time, one of my children, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to say their ages, but one of my children was at school one time. And they got into a little bit of trouble at school, and I told them, I said, when you're in here, it does not matter. Now, if they're telling you something wrong, then it's a different story. But if they're telling you something right in the classroom, you are to respect and listen to your teacher, because this is your teacher's classroom. This is not your classroom. This ain't your friend's classroom. This ain't even my classroom. This ain't your mother's classroom. You are to respect authority. Now, if that authority figure is going using their authority powers for the wrong, then it's a different story. Then that's when mom and dad step in. But you not listening, and then you tell me, oh, they're picking with me, or they're messing with me, or they're doing this to me. No, they're not. They're trying to get you to listen. And I have no problem. I have no problem. This is the one thing that my kids' teachers respect about me and my wife. We don't step in. I do not step in until an issue takes place where it's the teacher's fault. What do you mean by that, Adam? I mean, if the teacher is wrong, I'll step in. And if my son is wrong or if my children are wrong, I'll step in. But I do not step in when your teacher is telling you to do something and you don't feel like you need to do it. So I'm not even going to listen, because I'm not one of these parents where my sons can say, oh, my mama said, or my daddy said, no. I told you to listen to Mr. So-and-so. I told you to listen to Mrs. So-and-so. Because Mrs. So-and-so got her education. Mr. So-and-so got his education. He got his degree. You don't. Doesn't make you any less. But for you to get to that degree, you got to listen. Somebody has got to help you get to the next level. Nobody got to the next level on their own. They had a mentor. They had a teacher. You cannot learn things. The Bible says, how can they preach unless they be sent? How can they hear without a teacher? How can they preach unless they be sent? How can they hear without a teacher? No child comes in life knowing everything. I don't even know everything. I tell my kids that. I don't know everything. The little bit that I do know, I try to teach my children. And the stuff I don't know, I'll tell them real quick, I don't know. But I'll find you the answer, though. And if I don't know, I'll either study it, find it, and bring you the answer, or I'll take you to the answer. Somebody to know. I had to do that with my wife. She was like, do you know how to do it? Nope, sure do not. You better go ask your sister-in-law. I don't know. Well, can you talk to? Nope, sure cannot. You can go ask her. I'll call her up for you, and you can talk to her. I don't know. Sorry. But it's the thing is, nobody got to where they are without a leader. Nobody. And I guess this topic is on leadership today, because we have a lot of people that need guidance. We have a lot of young people that are unguided. They're guided. They're guided, but they're guided wrong. They're guided, but they're being guided wrong. The streets are guiding them. The music is guiding them. What they see on TV is guiding them. The glitz and the glamour is guiding them. And we don't need that for our young people. I tell my boys, even if I'm upset with them, I still tell them that I love them. I still tell them I love them. Let me tell you something, parents, hear me today. I don't care what country you from. I don't care what city you from in the United States. You need to tell your children every day that you love them. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm not here to, clash with anybody or anything like that. But if you, I don't care if you male or female, if you are not taking care of your responsibilities, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. You want, and we got leaders in the church that are not taking care of their responsibilities. Uh-oh. Yeah, we have those in the church. And if you are a leader in the church, I don't care what you're doing. If you are not taking care of your responsibility, if you got children and you ain't taking care of them, you need to sit your gift down and get that straight. Uh-oh. Sit that gift down. I'm not the best father. I am not. I make mistakes of being a father. I do. Sometimes I yell a little too much. But I have it in my mind where I'm raising boys. And do you understand? Let me share something with you. I was watching Steve Harvey, and he said something very profound. Now, I don't agree with everything celebrities say. I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with everything Steve Harvey says. I don't agree with everything Tyler Perry says. But he said something profound. Steve Harvey said something very profound. He said, undisciplined boys become undisciplined men. And he's right. He's right. And that goes for little girls too. Undisciplined little girls become undisciplined women. And what do I mean by discipline? I don't mean that you have to be hard as a rock on them. I'm not saying that you gotta be their shadow. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you gotta shield them from every little thing, everything. Not saying that either. But what I'm talking about is giving them a core foundation, of responsibility, giving them a core foundation of acceptance, giving them a core foundation. See, this is what Jesus wanted us to have in the very beginning. We talked on last week about we talked about being counted worthy, that he counted us worthy. In that worthiness, he gave us that. He wanted us to be, he gave us accountability. We talked about that before when we did the show on manhood. When it comes to manhood, womanhood, somebody, I don't care who it is, But if somebody great in your life needs to hold you and I accountable, spiritually and naturally, amen? When Moses and Aaron were headed, when they were on that 40-year journey with the children of Israel, I believe that Moses held Aaron accountable. He gave Aaron responsibility. He taught Aaron how to lead. Aaron didn't just get up and just, I'm a leader today. I'm a lead the children of Israel. He didn't know one thing about leadership at first. Now, me personally, I don't know. Amen. That's my own personal opinion. But standing under the learning tree of Moses, he learned. He observed Moses. And that's the same thing that our young people are doing. Our young people today, our minds are like sponges. They're taking in every little thing. My children, when they do something right, I try to encourage them to do more than that. I was at my son, my five-year-old's graduation. And it was a very big blessing to watch my five-year-old graduate from preschool because I was very, very impressed with the teachers that taught my son. What they did was during his graduation ceremony. Now you might say, well, this is preschool. This has nothing to do. It does. That's a lot. It shapes and molds them. Even though it's preschool, it still shapes and molds their confidence. Because those teachers at that graduation told them to take off their graduation hats, and they put crowns and tiaras on the boys and tiaras on the little girls, the little princess, you know, crowns on the little girls, and told them that they were kings and queens. Told them that they were kings and queens and made sure that they knew that at a young age, they knew that they were kings and queens. It is our job as leaders. It is our job as mentors. It is our job as pastors and elders and ministers and deacons and bishops and whatever you want to call yourself, it is our job to tell people how much these people are royalty to Jesus Christ. He counted us worthy. It is our job not only to rebuke. A lot of preachers, they just want to rebuke. And that's okay. There's a time and a place for all things. There's a time and a place for rebuke. There's a time and a place for correction. There's a time and a place. But there's a time and a place for encouragement also. My house, growing up, my father and mother, they encouraged us. They encouraged us when we needed encouragement. They rebuked us when we needed rebuke. They corrected us when we needed correction. They gave us all of that. They loved us. Even when we weren't so lovable. I'm going to say it like I want it to. That's the plan of a great leader. My father, growing up, I watched my father for 37 years. Even after I became grown, he was still at the same job. Working. And I watched this man for 37 years. Well, 34 of those years, because I wasn't born the first couple years of that. But I watched this man for 34 years work. Work sick, work hurt, work in, I mean, this man was literally lunched over, sick, but would go to work, get up and go to work, just to provide for his family. Made sure that there was food on the table to make sure that his family had a roof over their head, to make sure that each and every one of his children had what they needed, to make sure his wife had what she needed. Essence of a good leader. I commend every woman. I commend every woman that is doing it by herself. If you are a woman and you're taking care of your children by yourself, I commend you today. I don't care what country you're in. I don't care what state you're in. I don't care. But I commend you today, and I encourage you, be that leader until God sends you that man. Amen. And if you are a father and you're trying to raise your children by yourself, no matter what the case is, why you're by yourself raising those children, because we got some fathers that are raising children by themselves. I know for a number of years, my father raised me by himself. Amen. Taking care of a sick child. So I know. And to the ones that are doing it together. Amen. The husband and wife. Lord, I ain't about to go there. Please don't send me down that road. But the husband and wife. Amen. The ones that are raising children together. Man and woman. Husband and wife. And you are both working, or the husband's working and the wife is doing the provisions to keep the house in order, whatever which way y'all choose to do it, I commend y'all. And we honor y'all today on this show. Amen. I thank God for each and every single person that takes ownership of their leadership. I guess that's the title of this topic today, ownership of leadership. Because we got a lot of, we got leaders that ain't taking ownership of their leadership today. They ain't taking ownership of it. They think they are, but they're not. They think they are, but they're not. I have watched some people, jobs that I've worked at, they've taken their leadership and they've abused it. They've abused it. And you know what? It's bad. It's bad enough, because when you abuse your leadership, now, I will say this. Eventually, if you are a person that is abusing your leadership, I'm gonna tell you this, and this is a call from the Lord. I ain't even gonna say it's a call. It's a warning from the Lord. And I don't care if you're in the church or not in the church. If you are abusing your leadership today, I don't care what part you're in. I don't care if it's on the job. I don't care if it's in the church. I don't care if it's out there in the world. I don't care. You watch what I tell you. And I don't consider myself a prophet. I don't consider myself. But the Bible says he builds up king and he tears down king. And eventually, God gets tired of the unruly leadership. God gets tired. Do you know that? Look, watch this. Do you know that generational curses? We've talked about generational curses and generational blessings before. Do you know that's some of what starts a generational curse? Bad leadership? Why do you think that some of these places that we go to, God has judgment on these places? A judgment from God is a curse. Why do you think some of these countries, I ain't going to say all of them, but some countries have a curse on them because of bad leadership? Whether it be in the church or out of the church, whether it be in the government system or not, some are going through because of bad leadership and the decisions those bad leaders have made, and some are just only a test. But for the ones that are the ones that are not taking ownership of their leadership today, you're living, but you're not living. You have the title, but you're not living up to the title. I'm gonna tell you something. Eventually, God gonna take you down, and you can rest assured, God gonna take it down, especially if you in the church. God is getting tired of the so-called wishy-washy punks in the pulpit type people. One minute you're holiness, the next minute you're not. You want to take down because of people feeling this way. You want to take down because of the money. You want to take down because people aren't, you're not respected like you should be, or you're seen as the unpopular. You're not in the popularity bracket. You know what? Forget all that. Bump all that. Kick rocks with all that. You better live holiness. You better live righteously. Do you know why? One of the reasons why the employees that I work with respect me the way that they do is because of my stand for holiness and the way that I treat them. That's why some of the reason, and I've had a couple of my coworkers literally tell me this on my job. I've had customers come in there on my job and tell me that, man, you should be the store manager. No, I should not. No, I shouldn't. I had a customer, about a month or two ago say that to me. I had another manager from another store. Doesn't even work at where I work at. But it was because the way my job is set up, we work on in a plaza. Those shopping mall plazas. You know, you walk down the sidewalk and you got all these stores in one place. Well, one of the managers at another store that we're neighbors with said, "You should be the store manager. I see you here more than I see the store manager, and you're more nicer." I said, okay. All right. And I just said, no, I'm not the, I don't want that title. I don't want it. And I really don't want it. I've had people tell me that I should be this and I should be that. No, uh-uh. Nope. I'm going to leave it to that person right over there. And then there's some people that don't like me. When you have it, and watch this, you got to watch if everybody likes you, that's a problem. And don't nobody dislike you, that's a problem. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to say it again. In leadership, somebody should dislike you. I'm going to say it again. In leadership and even in life, the way you live your life. And I'm talking about holiness. I'm not talking about you living your life any kind of way now. I'm not talking about that. Let me clarify. I'm not trying to say that you said I can live my life any, if I live my life this way and that way, then nobody should like me, so should I care? No. I'm talking about if you live in your life in a godly, respectable way, you trying, not that you have all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that you have, that you've earned the respect from your peers, you've earned the respect from people around you, and there's going to be some people that, hey, they may not like you because of your stance. I've had people literally tell me on jobs and in places, I had a person on one of my jobs that I worked at tell me to my face, I do not like what you stand for. I'm going to do all I can to get you fired. Literally told me that to my face. And tried to fire me because I wouldn't work on a Sunday. Now you might say, well, Minister Adam, you're supposed to listen to the leaders, and you tell your children to listen to their teachers and stuff like that. They told you to come in and you didn't want to come in? Well, underneath the circumstances, no. No. See, the only time it is good to, I'm not going to say fight against leadership, but to take a stance against leadership is when it goes against God's moral for your life. When it goes against God's plan for your life, I don't care if that can be anybody. I ain't just talking about on your job. I'm talking about anybody. Amen. Anybody that got a problem with your stance with God and the way you run and the way God tells you to do things and you trying to do it God's way and they got a problem with it. Oh yeah. Because I remember the Lord told me not to work, don't you go to work on a Sunday. And not on Bible class night either. That's specifically for me. That's my day. Now, when we have special events going on at the church, yeah, I ask my boss for that time off. If I don't get it, then I can't be there. That's a different story. But on Sundays, I'm at my church every Sunday. And it's not because it's a religious tradition or whatever. It's because I love to go. And I tell every one of my jobs, every job I've ever worked at, I've only had to work on a Sunday once on any one of my jobs. One time. And that is because of the request of, I went because my former pastor told me to go to work. If she hadn't told me to go to work, I wouldn't have been going. Because I know what the Lord told me. But out of obedience to my pastor, and I believed what my pastor said to me, and I believe it was from the Lord for me, that I believe that she received it from the Lord, and I went on, and everything after that worked out. So I knew it was from the Lord because everything after that worked out. But that is the only time why I worked on Sunday. And you know why? And a lot of these people that don't want to go to church, that say they got this excuse, oh, well, I got to get up for work, and I got to do this and do this job and do that job, and I can't make it to church because I work on Saturday. Look, let me tell you something. If you look, I have worked on Saturdays at night, and this is my own accord here. This is from me. I have worked at night, late at night, on Saturday for the past 17 years. And this is before I got out of high school. If you want to quote me on it, ask my father and mother. Want to ask? I will personally bring them on this show just to clarify it. My first job I ever had, I was working Friday and Saturday. And I was in school. I was working Fridays and Saturdays, and I would get home late. I'd get home around 10, which for an 18-year-old young man, 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night, coming home a little bit too late, especially when you got to get up and go to church the next morning. But I made it to church, and it wasn't on the whim of my parents. It was because I wanted to get up and go. I would get up and be ready when we were younger, my father was the first one up getting ready for church. I would be up with him talking to him. These are the things, because it was in me, because my parents put it in me to go to church. They put it in me, and you might say, well, you were taught that. That's what you were taught. But I'm happy. Because it protect, you know what? What my parents taught me, it protected me. It shielded me. When my parents were not there, when my parents were not in my presence, it was God that shielded me. It was God that shielded me when we had at my school one time, we had a person on the school grounds with a gun that wanted to kill it. The first person. The people that he saw, because his mental state was messed up, came into the school with a gun, and they closed down the entire school. It was their prayers, and it was the fact that they taught me how to plead the blood of Jesus. It was that protected me, because my mama and my father, my mother and father couldn't go to school with me. I taught my boys how to pray. I taught my boys how to plead the blood of Jesus. Leadership, giving them accountability, accounting for themselves, giving them a little bit of leadership, learning how to pray, learning how to pray, just simple things, praying over their food. You don't know what these people are doing to their food. You don't know what, do you know what some of the, even if you go out to eat, you don't know what they putting in their food. I've taught my boys how to pray. How to pray over their self when they're hurting. If mama and daddy aren't there, you pray over yourself. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Because God hears your prayers too, just as well as he hears mama and daddy. He hears, and he'll probably hear your prayer before he hears mine, because you the one that's going through it. Amen. We have to teach our young people. We have to teach the churches how to go back to the basics. We need to go back to the basics of teaching. Teaching men how to be men. Teaching women how to be young ladies. And I'm not talking about, look, let me show you something. Teaching women how to be strong, productive women. And I ain't no woman, so I can't teach it. But women like First Lady Tuggle, women like Pastor Dorothy McGordon, women like Bishop, women like, we need to teach these young women, teach these young men how to be men. Teach them. There are some young people that don't even know how, there are some young men that don't even know how to tie their own ties. And that's a shame. It's a shame that they don't even know, but they know how to pick up a gun. They know what the name of that gun is, but they don't know how to tie a tie. What's wrong with us? They know how to go out there on the street. They know how, and there's nothing wrong with dribbling a basketball. There's nothing wrong, but they don't know how to tie a tie. They don't know how to read. Come on here. The major things of life, they don't know how to do, but they know how to get on the internet. They know how to get on they know how to get on social media. They know how to flash money. And look, they know some of these young men, they know how to sell their drugs, but they can't read. Society's mind is all messed up, all corrupt up. We need to break the cycle. Leaders need to break the cycle. And the way we break that cycle is we go in head first and we deal with the problem. We deal with the issue. And the issue is that we hit it where it hurts. We go after these young people. We pull them out. We tell them we love them. Don't bash them. You know why some of these young people are taking their lives? It's because some of these young men have never been told that a man loves them. They've never had their fathers wrap their arms around them and say, I love you, son. These young women have never had a mother wrap their arms around them and say, I love you, daughter. And they go after these young men that are treating them dirty. They're treating them wrong because they never had a man show them the way a man's supposed to treat a woman. It is time now, time to own up to leadership. Own your leadership. I told my boys, I said, you will not have any, I prophesied over them, and I don't consider myself a prophet at all, but I prophesied over my own children. You will not have children until you're married. All three of you will be married. And all three of you will have children by one woman. You ain't going to have a bunch of babies going in and out of it. No. The leader of this house is putting his foot down. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I'm putting my foot down. I'm putting it down on the devil's neck, and I'm telling him, leave my children alone. That's what we need to do. Leave mine alone. And don't you mess with any of one of my nieces and nephews neither. You think I ain't grabbed your neck enough? And yes, I'm sending this notice out to the devil and all his kin folks. You want to mess with mine? I'm going to mess with yours. I'm going to go after every demon there is. And I'm going to kill me a devil today. You mess with mine, I'm going to mess with yours. You kill my dog, I kill your cat. That's the way I think about it when it comes to the devil. And that's the way we should think when it comes to our family, when it comes to our mothers and our fathers and our sisters and our brothers. We cannot, there is no more time for division in the family. Somebody needs to stand up and lead the family. Stand up and lead the family. And I ain't just talking about your immediate family. I'm talking about nieces and nephews. If you know your nieces and nephews ain't got fathers, go after them. Go get them. Go spend time with them. I have nieces and nephews that don't see their fathers. Amen? And I got nieces and nephews that got their fathers in their life, and I still spend time with them. I just, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, my nephew Noah, love that little boy. My nephew Noah came over to my house, spent time with his cousins and his aunt and his uncle 2 weeks straight. Went out with us and then came over and spent the night the next week. All because, and his daddy in his life, his mama in his life. But I want him to know that his uncle loves him, that his auntie loves him, that you can come to us If anything going wrong, if your mom and daddy, if your mom and daddy can't deal with it, you can come and talk to me. If your mom and daddy is dealing with something, you come and get on, so I'll deal with it. I want him to know that he's able to come and talk to me. I want my children to know that they're able to come and talk to me. I want my niece to know that my niece, two of my oldest nieces, they have literally sat down and talked to me. One of them has talked to me about their education. One of them has talked to me about a boy that they like. And I said, wait a minute, hold up. See, me as protecting uncle, I was like, wait a minute, hold on. And then you wait, hold up. Now, let me check him out. Let me check him out. That's what these young ladies need. They need a stern man in their life to check these young men out, especially if they ain't got fathers in their life. Because you know what? Some of these corrupt young men, and I ain't even going to call them what the world calls them, but some of these corrupt young men that have these corrupt minds because they ain't been taught themselves, they go after these young women and try to have babies by them, to try to trap them and live off of them and stuff. The devil is a liar. Not mine, you ain't. I ain't got no little girls because I ain't got no little girls. I got boys. I got all boys. But now, mind you, you ain't coming after my nieces, not a single one of them, not a single one. And some of these girls, because it ain't just the boys that's doing it, it's some of these young girls too. They trying to trap men too into having babies by them. You ain't coming for none of my nephews, and you ain't coming for none of my sons neither. Not if I can help it. Long as God gives me breath, I will protect them at all costs. And I will protect them from every devil from the pit of hell. That is my job as a father. That is my job as an uncle. That is my job as a leader. That is my job as a mentor. That is my job. That's my job. That's our job as people. Amen. I remember back in the day at my former church, we were a family. Our church was like we were family, and we still are. Amen. We would call each other the brothers of the church. We would call them uncle. So we were so close. We were that close. We were like a knitted family. I would see them. And nothing against my uncles and aunties, my immediate family, you know, nothing against them. But most of the time I would see the brothers from the church, and I call them uncle, and I'll see some of the sisters from the church more than I would see my immediate family. If I had a problem at school and my mom and my dad was at work and they couldn't get to me, one of the members from the church would be up there. You could call them and they'd be right there. I remember when I chose to move out on my own, it was a sister from the church that helped me move into my first place. Amen. That gave me the help I needed to move. Took me to go sign the paperwork. It took me to go do this and do that. And it was my former pastor that said, Adam, you know, I thank God for my former pastor, because she taught us how to be a family. She taught us how to be family-oriented, and that's what we need. If we have more family, if we have more of a mindset of a family, we'll get more accomplished and less division. Do you know why the devil doesn't like unity? Unity can strike a mighty blow to the enemy. And when you have a good leader that can bring people together in unification, it can strike a mighty blow to the devil and what he's got going. But we got to get back there. We got to get to that place of unification. Unification in the church, unification in the family, unification in our lives. We got to get back to that place of unifying and stop dividing one another because of race, color, religion, all of this stuff. We cannot be divided. Now, if you don't believe, now when I say religion, now let me do this. Now, if you ain't believing what I believe in, if you ain't serving the same God that I serve, then, hey, I'll say it like this. Doesn't mean I'm going to treat you any less. We can agree to disagree, amen? I'll put it like that. We can agree to disagree. But we can still love one another. I can still love you, even though you may not go with my values. I can still love you. I don't believe now, look, watch this. I don't believe. Now watch. I was talking to one of my friends on this past week. And the one thing that I noticed about the church and the homosexual, lesbian, gay, transgender community, and I'm about to go there. One of the things that I noticed from the church's side is that, and I'm speaking of the church, is that some of us, we tend to look down on them. We tend to look down on them and we call them every name in the book. And that is wrong. I'm not promoting what you say about them. But I do promote that you love them in spite of. Because you can lead, you can get more bees with honey than you can vinegar. And hating somebody is not going to draw them. But let me say this. I do not condone what they do. I love the person, but I don't condone what they do. Let me get that straight. The reason why I don't condone what they do is because the Bible goes against it. Now, on the flip side of that, I see it on the other side. The homosexual community or the lesbian community or the transgender community thinks that people hate them, that the religious people hate them. It's not that. Now, some might say, now, they're going straight to hell. Let me tell you something. You're going to bust the lake of hell wide open for telling them that, calling them every name in the book to their face. You need to learn how to love them. Because just as well as you saying that they're going to bust the lake of hell wide open for what they're doing, you're going to bust the lake of hell wide open for sleeping around with that individual. Uh-oh. You're going to bust the lake of hell wide open for not praying when the Lord told you to pray. See, we all got skeletons in our closet. We all got something. We all fall short. But guess what? That's where grace comes in. But we don't abuse the grace of God. Some in the church and out of the church have abused the grace of God. You're abusing the grace of God when you got your nose stuck up in the air looking down at a sinner. You're abusing the grace of God. You're abusing the grace of God when God is tugging at your heart, but you say, I'll give my life tomorrow. You're abusing the grace of God. And this is not from Adam. This is not from Adam Tuggle today. This is from God himself. And I'm going to say it the way the Lord told me to say it. You are abusing the word of God. You are abusing the grace of God when you're not loving people. You're abusing the grace of God when God tries to tap you on the shoulder and say, come unto me, follow me, all you that are heavy laden, and you don't do it. He gives you another day to get it right, and you don't do it. You're abusing the grace of God. And guess what? Both sides are slapping God dead in the face. You're taking his crucifixion for granted. Mm-hmm. You're taking his crucifixion for granted. You're taking his death on the cross for granted. When you want to stay out there one more night with the frogs, when you want to stay out there and sin and sin and sin, and I ain't just talking about the sinner man either. I'm talking about that church goer, that pew baby. I'm talking about that pew warmer. Uh-huh. You wanna sing in the choir, but yet you have, thank you, Jesus. You want to sit over there and tell somebody about Jesus one minute, and then the next minute you trying to go off on somebody. You mad at the pastor because they didn't call you for praise service. No, oh, I could have done it better than Sister So and So, but yet you're telling this man or this woman that they're gonna go to hell because of what they're doing. You gonna be the first one. You're going to be the first one. Why? Because God holds you to a higher standard because you called yourself saved. They didn't. You were the one that was filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not. You're going to be the first one to go. You're going to be the first one being in that great falling away. You might think that you're in the church house, but you're really not. Your body is there, but you're not mentally there, and you're not spiritually there. And you need to get it. You need to get it right. For every person that God has tried to call you, God has called you and called you and called you. Hallelujah! I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. But God is calling you. God keeps calling you. He keeps showing you that he wants you. He keeps showing you the way out, but you won't take it. This is your warning today. Take it. You better listen to the voice of God, and you better listen to him, because there's a time where God is going to move his hand. God is getting ready to move his hand. And the judgment of God is about to be up on the earth. And the judgment of God is amazing. This is not just for sinners. This is for the godly too. This is for every person that calls themselves holy. This is for every person that calls themselves a sinner, for both sides. God is getting ready to move his hand, and you better get ready, because ready or not, Jesus is coming, and he's coming with rewards. Whether if it's a reward for you to go to heaven or it's a reward for you to go to hell, whichever one. And I'm not putting nobody in hell. I'm not. Because God doesn't send nobody to hell. I used to think that way, that God sends people to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. He doesn't. He sends you where you want to go. And if your life is raggedy-ness ain't going to heaven. There's only one place for raggedy lives to go. But you got to get it right. Every day that you get up, every day that you breathe, you can get it right. You don't have to go, but it's your choice if you choose to. If you choose to live the same way that you've been living for the past 30 and 40 years, and let me tell you, in these last few minutes, for the person that thinks, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't do none of that, I'm a morally good individual, let me tell you, you were born in shaping in iniquity. You were born a sinner. Every person that on the face of the earth was born a sinner. from the start of sin, when Adam chose to walk in his own way, when he brought sin on the earth, that then brought sin upon mankind, and every person needed to be set free from their sin. And today, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, the people back in Moses' day and David's day and the people that were in the days before the day of Pentecost happened, they weren't baptized in Jesus' name. That's because the Holy Ghost hadn't been given out. That's because either one or two reasons, they lived by faith for one or two reasons, either because Jesus hadn't come, or three reasons. Jesus hadn't come, Jesus had come and hadn't died yet, or Jesus had already died and the Holy Ghost hadn't been given out yet. One of three. One of three reasons. Either Jesus hadn't come yet, or Jesus was on the earth and they died and the Holy Ghost hadn't came yet. Jesus hadn't died and they died before Jesus died. Or the last one, Jesus died and they died before the Holy Ghost was given out. So, other than that, from the day of Pentecost up until now, you need the Holy Ghost. You need his spirit on the inside of you to make it to heaven. Amen. I hope that this topic blessed you on today. Own your leadership. Own your leadership. We have to own our leadership today. We have to own our leadership. But the Bible compels us to own it. As we taught on last week, he counted us worthy of leadership. Not everybody is doomed to, not everybody is set to be a leader. Those that are, whatever capacity you are a leader at, be the best leader you can be. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend, and I pray that you have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord one day. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. We want to thank Bishop Cook again for allowing us to come, in Jesus' name. I praise God for each and every single listener that listens to The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very, very much. I commend each and every one of you in Jesus' name. I love each and every one of you, and I'm praying for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Spirit Alive family, I love you. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you, and until next Saturday, until next Saturday, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name.